You came into the family through Jesus' precious blood. You've tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone. You wandered far from homeland, down paths so dark and cold, in search of all the pleasures you could hold. You're free. Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near. Come home, your Father really loves you. Come home, it's where you want to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from fellowship was sweet, the time was spent in worship at his feet. You know it doesn't really matter how long you've been away, just let his Spirit cleanse you and be restored to shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment. Come home. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, for he stands with arms wide open.
Appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. When you find that, if you please stand to your feet if you're able. First Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to read verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we ask for your help and blessing on this time of this service now. Please be with our pastor now as he preaches and opens up the word of God and proclaims your word. I pray that it would go forth with power, with wisdom. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would trust in you alone. Be with those that are home and sick today and not able to be here, Lord. Bless this time that we have. We love you and pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated now, also hold your place and turn to Psalm chapter 14 and verse number 1. Then after that, Ezekiel 18, verse number 4. Then after that, just Psalm 14 and verse 1. And while you're turning to Psalm 14, turn your stupid phone off. We've said it many different ways. I like that way better. Turn your stupid phone off. So make sure it's off, please, would you? We appreciate that. You never knew your phone was stupid, but it is. Psalm 14 and verse 1, and then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 4 for the message this morning, back and forth between those two verses. You know what a fool is? A fool. Now, don't think of your favorite congressman. Think of this for a moment. A fool. A fool is somebody. In the Bible, a fool is a person who rejects the knowledge and the information that they are given. They reject it. It's not that they don't know what it is. They reject the knowledge or the information that they are given. If you know your book of Proverbs at all, you know it mentions a fool quite a bit in that book. A father teaching his son about this person's a fool, that one's a fool, that sort of thing. But do you realize that all fools in the Bible are not bad? There are actually good fools in the scripture. You just saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. So the question this morning, very simple thought, is this. Whose fool are you? Whose fool are you? Now again, a fool is someone who rejects the knowledge or information that they are given. So then how could that be good, Pastor Johnson? Well, this world's trying to give us all kinds of information. And you and I, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Somewhere in our lives as a Christian, we're going to have to decide whose fool we're going to be. So the thought is simple this morning, and hopefully I won't mess it up from the message. You're a fool based on your choices. You're a fool based on your conduct. And you're a fool based on your convictions. So then whose fool are you this morning? Well, in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, does it say, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I have come across many an atheist in my life and ministry and travels and just, you know, talking to folks. Some of them declare it with great arrogance. Well, I'm an atheist. Usually I try to curb my sarcasm, but it doesn't always work. And I think one man on the airplane said, you know, he saw my Bible and stuff, and he said, oh, you're religious. And I said, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor. He goes, well, I'm an atheist. I said, how arrogant. That wasn't my first thought, but it came out really good. He goes, pardon me? I said, sir, for you to say there is no God, you would have to know everything. And since you don't know everything, it's arrogant to say that you're an atheist because you don't know everything. There's knowledge that there's a God, and you just don't know that. And I think I've explained, I took a little napkin and drew a circle on there. And inside, I said, sir, inside this circle is all the knowledge available to mankind today. How much of it would you say you have? Well, I said, okay, let's say you're like Einstein, Hawking squared times 2 to the power of 10. And let's say you've got a quarter of all the knowledge available to man today. Is it not just reasonable assuming the knowledge you don't have, there's a knowledge of God, and you just don't know that? He goes, oh. Then he goes, what am I? I said, well, you're a fool. No, the truth is, it's too bad when they've come to the mind. And in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So when a person makes the choice to act like there's no God, the Bible says they're a fool. Oh, not just an atheist. The fool has said in his heart, no God. You're not going to tell me how to live my life. And you know what's the sad part about that is? Look at me. We are free moral agents, and God will allow us to make our choices. He'll allow you to say there is no God. He'll let you do that. He doesn't want you to, but he'll allow that. But you know what will happen? That person will find out what a fool they were. Because you know why? They're rejecting the knowledge God has given them. God's proof is in creation. Just to look at what he has made. So there's no reason, Romans chapter 1 says, there's no reason to turn from the eternal power and Godhead proven by his creation what he has made. Not just that, I mean, it's just not even logical. That's the insanity of saying that we evolved from a lower life form to a higher life form. That's not intelligent, that's stupid. See, well, you shouldn't say that. Okay, it's ignorant and it's stupid. It's ignorant because you're denying the lack of what knowledge God shows you in his creation, and it's stupid because you won't acknowledge it. A person, they're going to be made a fool of because what? Because, ladies, look at me. Because saying there is no God. We got an email this week from one of our neighbors here in town. Someone put a track on their door. This guy emailed us and said, I want to send you one of my tracks. And it's from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Don't look it up unless you want to throw up. And I read a portion of it. And the assault and the insult they made against God and Jesus alone was unbelievable. I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. You sit down and thought this out? See, all that works in this life. Not the next one. But see, here's the sad part. Look at me. Then that kind of a person is proved to be a fool in eternity, and they can't do a thing about it then. They're going to go, oops, uh-oh, wait a minute, oh. There, you mean, uh-oh. They've made a choice. And by society, they're telling most people nowadays that the rise of atheism in America has increased exponentially. In other words, it's continuing to grow and get bigger. Nebuchadnezzar was that way. Who is God to tell me what to do? God warned him, said, look, break off your sin or 7 years are going to come on you. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? Hey, look at my life. Look at what all I've done. Who's God to tell me? You know, Pharaoh did that. Nebuchadnezzar wound up in the backyard eating grass like an animal for 7 years to God to teach him the most high ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God made a fool out of him. Amen. Pharaoh, who is God to tell us what to do? Who's God to tell us how to live? And God crushed his kingdom to teach him. God can tell you what to do and how to live. See, we are fools based on our choices. Oh, but wait a minute. There's good fools. Oh, yeah, look at me. There are those people who, look at me, they choose to believe that there is a God. They choose to believe that his word, the word of God, the Bible, is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. And then when they choose to believe that, oh, wait a minute, it gets better. When these fools choose to believe that, that world out there tells us we're crazy. There's something wrong with us. We look like fools to them. That's what 1 Corinthians 4 verse 10 says. Look at it one more time, please, in your scriptures. Notice it says in verse 9 that God has set forth us the apostles as it is appointed unto death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake. You think this is something new where people looked at those who believe the Bible and said, you guys are crazy. You actually believe the Bible? You believe in a seven-day creation? How many believe in a seven-day creation, right? No, 6 days. Read your Bible, people. Get your every cotton picking time. 6 days. All right, let me try one more time. How many of you believe Jonah swallowed the whale? You believe Jonah swallowed the whale? No, the whale swallowed Jonah. There was one. The truth is, it's amazing to me how many times people look at us and they go, you really believed he was swallowed by a whale, lived 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, when there is no whale known to man that has a throat big enough to swallow a man. And you really believe he was in that belly of that whale? Yeah, because Jesus said that Jonah would be in the whale 3 days and three nights, so would I be in the heart of the earth. And as Jonah came out of that whale alive, so did Jesus from the grave. So you mess with Jonah and the whale, you're messing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the world looks at us and says, well, you're foolish. Yeah, we look like fools to them. We look like fools. We look like people who are just dumb enough to let our Bible do our thinking for us. We're just dumb enough. They just look at us and go, oh, come on. You really believe that book, that old King James Bible? You really believe that old book? You really believe everything that it says? You really believe that it's really God speaking to us today? Yeah. Yeah, watch me. And if the world thinks I'm a fool for that, I'll take it. We are fools for Christ's sake. By your choices. And we are fools for Christ's sake by your conduct, by your behavior. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. In other words, people think it's a toy. It's a game. Hey, you can just do whatever you want. Pick whatever lifestyle you choose. Live whatever the way you want to live. Do what you want to do. And they mock sin. Oh, that's bad. Oh, you go to that church over there telling you what you can and can't do. Though that's bad. When after all, it's all a matter of your choice. And they mock what the Bible calls sin. Tragically. Then sin mocks them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. I never saw anywhere in the Bible where it says you can sow to the flesh and reap life everlasting. Never. Oh, you can get stuff out of it, but eventually it corrupts. Corruption is the idea of something that rusts. When we were in Bible college, I had a VW, and Brother Evans knows my VW. I'm driving down Indianapolis Boulevard one snowy day in this VW that was just rusted out from the salt. And I went to downshift this VW, and I felt that something jerked. And I looked up in the rearview mirror. It was a blowing snowy day, and there was a big twisted thing laying in the middle of the road. Looked like a person, and I thought, oh, man, I ran somebody over and didn't even see it. And then I looked in the rearview mirror, and I went, it's snowing in the back seat of my car. And I didn't have a sunroof. And the windows weren't rolled down. And I looked down, and the floorboard fell out of the car. On the driver's side, the seat fell over and wedged between the little transmission hump and the door. I'd have fallen right out onto the road. I looked down, ho! And I put a foot here and a foot there like that, and I was trying to downshift, pull over the side of the road, and picked up the little floor mat that was still hanging on a piece of rusty metal. I went, oh, my soul, there ain't no floorboard in this car. I didn't see the damage the rust had done. And it went from this side of the pedals all the way to the back seat. And so I worked at a factory then, lunch meat factory. Don't eat lunch meat. And I fashioned a little bit of steel, attached it to the inside of that so I had something to put my seat on. Couldn't find enough stuff to make a hole, cover that gap in the back between the driver's seat and the back seat. There's a gap about that big, about that wide. So I got some trash bags, filled them full of newspaper, and shoved them in there. Then the kids would get in the car and said, don't put your feet on that. You're going right out on the road, man. It was kind of a blessing because I could check the road condition and tire wear without getting out of the car. Just pick up the flap. Yeah, everything is going to go down there. I got pulled over by a Chicago cop going to a Cubs game one day because he pulls me over, and I said, what'd I do? And he said, your brake light went out. I just laughed. I thought, dude, there ain't no floorboard in this car. You worried about a brake light? Seriously. Don't laugh at Chicago cops. They have no sense of humor. I never saw the damage of the rust. Look at me. You sow to the flesh, you reap rust. Yeah, look at me. The corruption that takes time, but it gets there. Yeah, it gets there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever get enamored with people who make their conduct, their behavior so contrary to the Bible, and the world glorifies them and honors them and makes them famous and wealthy and all that stuff. And you think, oh, what's that all about? I'll tell you what it is. If you look real carefully, you can see corruption in that stuff because God will not be mocked. Oh, yeah. Your conduct will make you look like a fool to God, and sin will make you look like a fool in the process. Yeah, it will. Tragedy is this, listen to me. You don't have time to waste time. You don't have life to waste life on. But then there are those people. Look at me. It's a sunny, nice day today. It's going to be 70 degrees in Reading. And you're in church? Huh? And when it rains, you're in church? Whoa, wait a minute. And you mean to tell me you actually live by the principles of the Word of God? They control your life when you leave this place? What kind of cult are you in? Are we handing out like secret underwear for everybody? What's going on? You mean to tell me you take that Bible and you let it direct and guide your yeses and nos and you're going to do that? Then you want to talk about the world laughing at you, making a fool, saying you're a fool with your choices. Try that conduct stuff when you go to work. Try that conduct stuff when you stand up for Jesus Christ and live the way you're supposed to live. The world will think you're a fool for that. You know why? Because you didn't do it. Working in this secular world, these guys in break time would talk about what they did on the weekend. Well, Reverend, what did you do, preacher, over the weekend? So I went to church, worked on a bus route, that kind of stuff. Not me, I got drunk. Oh, okay. Had a wonderful time, too. So, okay. What'd you do? I don't know. I don't remember. I threw up. So, well, Saturday at midnight, I'll go in the bathroom, stick my finger down my throat and join you, I guess. I don't know. And I'm a fool because I didn't go out and get snockered drunk, didn't even know what I did, but I was supposed to have a good time. What is that? Come on, people, look at me. Our conduct will make us look like a fool to this world. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? His word, his claim upon you, upon your life, upon what you do. Are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed? You don't have to go around and declare what you are. You just have to live what you are in front of people. Like we said last week, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, come on. We don't have to get signs, carry around a big sign, get a big cross on our chest. It's not necessary. You just live right in this world. They think you're a fool because of your conduct. But let me tell you something, friend. If this world doesn't think you're a little goofy and there's something wrong with you, there is something wrong with you. You know why? You're too much like them. Yeah, that's right. You're too much like them. You got their morals. You got their living. You got their conduct. You got their behavior. You got their appearance. You got their attitude. You got their way of living. You got their music. You got their friends. You got everything about them from that world out there. And no wonder they don't think you're a fool because you're so much like them. Time for God's people to get a grip on good old-fashioned holiness. Living a life that's separated unto God and lives a life that honors him in the way. This world better think you're a fool. Because you don't get to do what they do. You know, I never went to bed on a Saturday night and feel like, man, I missed it today. I didn't get to do all that stuff out there. I'd rather go to bed at night tired with no regrets than go to bed at night hanging my head because I did what I shouldn't do. Is the Spirit of God live in you? Does the Spirit of God live in you? He's a Holy Spirit. Consequently, then, he'll let us know if my conduct starts to stray a tad. More than a tad, he'll get on me before I even start to do it. Yeah, our conduct makes us look like fools to this world. But then again, sin ain't going to make a fool out of us. Sin isn't going to bring a take from us instead of give to us. Sin is not going to do it. That young prodigal who went to the far country because he got his inheritance. Boy, he looked like he was in charge, didn't he? Huh? Got a pocket full of inheritance. He's off to the far country. Doesn't he look like he's in charge of his life? Oh, man. I mean, he's going to be on the front of Fortune magazine. Doesn't he look like this young man who's got it all figured out and, as we used to say in the old day, got it all in one bag? And there he goes. But who's in the hog pen before long eating pig food and trying to live with pigs? It's just this morning, please. I'd rather the world think I'm a fool for what I am now than sin to prove me a fool later on. So then there is the choices that we make. There's the conduct that we have. And then there are the convictions by which we conduct ourselves, our lives. You see, a conviction is a strong belief that does not change. It's fascinating to see how many people have developed strong convictions about things in their life only to find out later on, that wasn't right. That didn't turn out. That wasn't what it was supposed to be. But they believed it so strongly you couldn't change their mind. There was nothing you could do to alter their thinking because they had it so fixed in their head. There's another word for it. It's called being stubborn. And they develop, this is what I believe, and you're not going to change my mind. I've had people tell me that before. Well, could I explain to you how you could know for sure you're going to heaven? No! You're not going to change my mind. This is what I believe. This is where I am. And nothing you can say is going to change that. And they develop these convictions of belief in their life. Usually it almost always centers around something economic, something political, or something philosophical. I was sitting next to a philosopher on an airplane one day. Don't believe in religion, don't care for any of that kind of stuff. I have my own way of thinking. I said, well, share a little with me. He goes, well, it's a pretty expansive project, Pastor Johnson. There's a lot to it. I said, well, give me the introduction. Give me the cliff notes. Where are you at, partner? What are you thinking? He goes, for instance, I go, life after death. Don't believe in it. Okay. How about your purpose in life? I'm searching. Okay. Haven't found it yet. No. How old are you? 58. Okay. All right. Good. And I said to that man, I asked him a few questions, and he gave very short answers, fortunately. But he wouldn't let me tell him how to be saved for nothing because, see, he knew what he believed. But he didn't know where he was going. He didn't believe in life after death. He didn't know what his purpose in life was. I said, sir, don't you kind of think maybe, he goes, so you're going to tell me you do? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. I said, first of all, I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Bible says that I have eternal life. And God would like you to know that too, if you let me tell you. No, you're going to tell me. I said, okay, fine. I said, then I have a purpose in life, the will of God. And I know I'm doing right now what God put me on this earth to do. And boy, there is nothing as fulfilling as that. Let me tell you something, Spanky. There is nothing as fulfilling as knowing you're doing what God put you on this earth to do. And you can say it with conviction. He goes, well, that's good for you. I said, it's good for anybody. If you let me tell you how to be saved and how to know Christ. No, you're going to tell me that. I said, okay, fine. He had all the philosophical. Most people today, all they have are questions and criticism, but they don't have answers. See, we have this conviction, first of all, that you must be born again. If you've never settled the matter by simply trusting Christ as your personal Savior, you are not going to heaven. But if you do, you can have eternal life. It's that simple. Then you take that book right there and you live it as a lamp for your feet, light for your path. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? You'll find out your purpose for living on this earth. That you may know, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And you can pillow your head at night and know that you are living for a reason, a purpose that the Almighty God designed for you. And nobody's philosophy can give you one of those. But to the world, they say, well, then you're awful limited in your thinking. To which I say, thank you. I used to be open-minded, but I got past the 60s. And now, so whose fool are you this morning? Are you going to be a fool that the world agrees with? Are you going to be a fool that God agrees with and the world doesn't? I take Jesus. Yeah, we are fools for Christ's sake. They look at us like, what do you think you're doing? And by the way, for some of you folks, let me help you with a quick thought here. Stop letting the world tell you how to live your life, because they don't know what they're doing anyway. And if they ain't got the guts to try it, they got no business telling you what you ought to be doing. Whose fool are you? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?